In 1938, there was a dramatic interpretation on the radio of Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. And you may know about this story. The story was presented on radio as if they were news bulletins. And there were no commercials in between. So a lot of people heard that news on the radio. It was War of the Worlds, attack of the Martians on Earth. And a lot of people believed. And they became stressed. They became afraid. They started hunkering down, maybe even equipping themselves with arms to wage a war. Of course, this was, you know, nationally and even international news that happened. And often this story is told as kind of sort of showing the naivete, perhaps, of Americans, I guess, at that time in the world. But there was Princeton professor of psychology, Cyril Hadley, and he did an investigation on this event to see how did it happen that so many, you know, decently or well-informed Americans came to fear for their lives when they heard this, you know, dramatic, you know, fake news of Martian attack. And what he discovered is that most Americans who heard that and who were afraid didn't believe that Martians were attacking. They had reinterpreted those events even as they were hearing the news broadcast. Some said, oh, well, clearly it was Hitler invading America with gas bombs, and the news commentator was just ignorant, calling it Martians. Others claimed, oh, well, it's clearly got to be some new technology from Japan. Quote, they are so crafty, end quote. So they believed Japanese were attacking American soil. Others said, well, it seems to be the end of the world, but a world under fascism is no life at all. So why not end it? And so what Dr. Hadley discovered was that, and not just for Americans, it's actually for a broader community in the West, we very quickly interpret what we see as danger or threat much greater than it actually is. We're very good at that. In fact, studies will show that in the West, we spend gross amounts of money on protecting ourselves from threats that aren't that likely, with alarms in our houses, in our vehicles, in a lot of cases, weapons to protect yourself. And it's basically responding to fear. Either our imaginations will take a perceived threat and enlarge, you know, the danger, so we're afraid. But then also sometimes real things happen in life and we are actually afraid because there is a real danger. I guess the point is, it's very easy at any point in human history, from the ancient writings, the people of the Bible that we read today to today, to live a life dominated by fear. And yet, if you're a follower of Jesus, we're not called to live in fear. Now, it's tempting to think, well, I'm not meant to live in fear, how should I live? And there are many narratives to choose from. Some would say, instead of fear, have a stiff upper lip and just work hard, and you'll overcome your fear with your gumption. Or others will say, no, you got to be courageous in the face of fear. And there's others. Notably, in nowhere in the Bible will you ever hear that the response to fear is either courage or some kind of stiff upper lip gumption. Repeatedly, the people of God, either individuals or large communities, are always called, in the face of fear, to trust. We're called to trust God, that no matter what's happening in the now, that He's in control. The journey of faith, following Jesus, if you had to bring it to some core, we use the word faith, but it's actually trust, right? That's what the reader of Hebrews said. It's hoping for things not seen. And then he talks about the story of Abraham. Now, if you know the story of Abraham, an ancient man who lived in the city of Ur, from a very wealthy family, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice from God saying, I'm calling you to the wilderness to live a nomadic lifestyle, and I have a home for you. I have a home for you. You just got to trust me. And Abraham, remarkably, let go of all his wealth, let go of all his family, and he went to the wilderness, and he lived a life, if you read the whole story, of trusting God over and over again. And then he's lauded for that. Now, when we say the journey, a life of faith and trusting Jesus is trusting, what does that mean? Is it just saying, well, Jesus, I believe you're there, so I trust you? And just saying that, is that it? No. It's trusting God means relying or believing that Jesus has the best intentions for you, even in the hardest moments. And therefore bringing all your decisions, all your worries, all your fears, and bringing them to God, either in prayer, right, daily prayer, daily scripture, and pondering, bringing your concern, bringing your fears, and saying, God, what are you doing with this? I trust you. What should I do now? And when you trust God, everything else that occurs in life, it's not life or death. I'll show you what I mean. The narrative that we encounter in our culture is something like this. There is a variety of them. They all depend on trusting self. Some would say, well, life is challenging, it's very hard. So get the right education, go to the right school, get the right credentials, and ensure that you always have a place, you'll always have a seat at the table. And you control fear by achievement. Or some might say, well, no, wait, what you do is get the right investments, save, you know, diverse portfolio, and, in, you know, and secure yourself by controlling your life with money. Or really invest in your family, and your family really is your salvation. If my kids love me, or if I love my kids, and I'm having great vacations, then this ensures my life to have a family. And you name it. You can do anything to try to control your life. And what you're doing, actually, is trusting in yourself. The bottom line, I trust in me. But what we've been learning over and over again, especially in this COVID season, is how so much of what we can make or what we can do can be ripped so easily from our hands. Even life is so fragile. I can't guarantee it. That's why Jesus calls us over and over again. You read the stories of Jesus, he's always calling people to faith, but the word is trust. Trust in the one. No one can take anything from God. No one took anything from Jesus' hand. Even when they tried to take Jesus' life from him, it wasn't enough. He came back from the dead. It's not even death that's hold from Jesus. And so what we're called to do is to sort of ponder that truth. When we sing the songs, the hymns that we sing, when we read the readings, to ponder what God is saying to us over and over again. He's calling us to trust him. Not even in the perceived or imagined dangers that we might inflate, he also calls us in the midst of the hardest and most painful realities that we experience. I was reading about, you've heard of Pinochet, the Chilean fascist dictator. And I was reading how him and his goons, really, would round up hundreds and thousands of Chileans randomly to torture them. It was very random. And the idea was, the philosophy was, when you torture an individual, groups of people at a time, what they're forced to learn and believe is that they are completely at the behest of the authorities, that no one can come to save them, that they are alone. And if you do that enough with people, they'll easily bend to your will. And so they did it, by the thousands. And at that time, the Christian churches in Chile came out, and they would hold these mass Eucharistic services in public, in broad daylight. They would hold these giant services with like full communion, because they recognized that what the government was doing by rounding up people to torture them was essentially an anti-liturgy. who was teaching people that they were alone and they could be broken at an instant. So the church held the communion and invited everyone to come to take, because the vision of Scripture, the vision of Jesus, is completely different from that. It says that no matter what's happening, they may break your body, but they can never tear you from my love. Right? Because Jesus died on the cross, took all our sins, so that when we trust in him, we're guaranteed new life. And so, yes, it can hurt even our bodies, but if you're trusting in Jesus, even death, you're going to be okay. The love of God is always with you. And so Jesus' death on the cross, that promise, that reality, is what we celebrate every Sunday. We come to the Lord's table and trust and faith that no matter what's happening in our lives, we're never alone. Death is not the end. And God is always with us. That's faith. So you might ask at this point, and to wrap up, well, how do I do this? How do I trust? Let me share with you what I do. And that's proven helpful, and I'm still learning, but maybe this might help you. When I'm going through a hard time, and they come often enough, or I'm unsure of the future, I look at my life, and I trace God's grace in my life over the years. And I see it. And the things that I might have thought of as coincidences, I stop calling them that. And I start calling them God's grace, because that's what it is. But there have been seasons where I just found it very hard to do that, because I was hurting. And what I was taught to do, and I'm so grateful for it, was when you can't trace God's grace in your life, because maybe you're just hurting right now, read the Bible and trace God's heart in Scripture. Trace God's love for humanity, God's love for you. It is very apparent. If you just spend time in God's Word, it's there. And ask yourself questions. When you're in the thick of it, when you're in the thick of the hurt, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me? You can ask that. What is God trying to do through me? What is God calling me to do at this time? And if you ask that to God in faith and trust, however small that trust may be, however small that faith is, God will show you. He always does. And no matter what, you must believe that God is always with you and not alone. That's the main message of the Bible. Now, we're going to come to the Lord's table right now. So if you're in a moment where you're finding it hard to trace God's goodness in your life, bring that to God and receive the bread as you consume it. Pray and bring that to God. If you have a fear of what the next few days, weeks, months, or even, you know, close years are going to hold for you, come to the table and bring that to God. Don't suppress it. Honest worship isn't about just pretending that you're smiling all the time. Honest worship is bringing your real life to God and trusting that God is there and he loves you and he'll show you the way. So let's do that. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you that in the midst of our hurt, in the midst of intense challenges, not only in our lives, but in our families and indeed our community here in Banff, we thank you that we are not alone, that you love us and that you are with us. God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. He's done the hardest thing, so we know that no matter what we face in life, he'll be there for us. We can trust that. Help us every day, read and reflect on your word, to pray and connect with you, God. Help us to grow in trust in you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, man.